You see this gentleman, if you check out the Capitol Report Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. on News 8. He's part of the panel there with our buddy Tom Dudchick. He's a regular contributor to my show in the afternoons on Thursday. Former Republican State Senate leader John McKinney. John, thanks for getting up early with me this morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Paul. I wish it was a little warmer, but it's a beautiful day out.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Well, John, you know, now the end of the session is in sight, and as always, I'd like to start off by asking you just generally what has stuck out to you over the past week or so. What are you hearing, buzz or no-go on some of these controversial bills? What do you have?
Yeah, well, and Paul, you and I have talked about it. I know your listeners have called you about it, the big controversy over the homeschooling bill. Mm-hmm. Speaker Matt Ritter came out the other day and said a lot of that information, the curriculum information, is not going to be included in the bill. It looks like they're going to pass a bill that would simply require a school district to notify the Department of Children and Families when a kid is taken out of school. Currently, under the truancy laws, if a kid misses a certain number of days, DCF is notified. This would add in the category of if someone is taken out of the public school, DCF is notified. Probably not, you know, still a little bit intrusive for some homeschooling families who might start their kids at public schools and take them out, or you start at public school and take them to a private school. But it's a recognition that a lot of the testimony and hard work of the homeschooling parents has paid off.
And John, and I mention this on the show all the time and tell people, listen, they can think whatever they want about this topic or not, but Connecticut and its perception of and its actuality of being a somewhat center-left state and progressive state, we are listed, whatever side you go on online, we are listed as having very few, in fact, some of the fewest homeschooling rules in the country. I was surprised with that.
Yeah, it's hard to explain. I spent 16 years there. The issue really never came up. I met a lot of homeschooling parents I represented. The kids were fantastic, and there were never really any issues. I think, you know, some of the tragedies we've talked about that mm-hmm. I don't think are related to homeschooling have brought the attention back into the spotlight. And I don't think this is a terrible thing for the homeschooling parents, but they certainly have won this round in terms of what was proposed was really onerous and unfair, in my opinion.
The paying strikers after 2 weeks, people that go on strike of their own volition or their union tells them, John, to walk off the job, even though they may have a strike fund. Some of the strike funds are not exactly large amounts of money, but we have had this bill introduced again to pay strikers after 2 weeks on the picket line. Supporters say it levels the playing field. Critics say it's a government putting its thumb on the scale. What are your thoughts on that one? You think that has any shot?
Well, it has a shot in the legislature. The question is Governor Lamont going to continue to oppose it and threaten to veto yeah. it? He has been against it in the past. It's an election year. He's got a far left progressive challenging him. That changes some of that dynamic. I would personally love to debate anyone who says this balances the scales. The reason why people are paying their dues to their unions is so that there is a strikers fund to take care of them if they exercise their right to go on strike. This clearly says now we're going to put the government and the strikers on one side and the corporation on the other. And it's a bad message to send to businesses in Connecticut and others who we want to attract here. There's, you know, no opposition to private workers joining a union, forming a union, but this goes too far.
There is this ongoing controversy over somebody, I have no doubt that you know, Doug McCrory and an associate of his son, Sari Cicero. We're seeing coverage on this, and I think the last story we saw, John, on this was that investigators still have not gotten the documentation that they have asked for to see if there's any more funny business or any alleged funny business with the Blue Hills Civic Association. That's got to pain you from a distance seeing this. And I applaud the governor for suggesting just some common sense changes here that we have to do about knowing where hard-earned taxpayer money is going to some of these nonprofits, the vast majority of which, John, obviously do a great job and do it for far less than the state would do it if they had to pay for it.
Absolutely. Our private nonprofit sector does so much good in the state, and they do it for pennies on the dollar of what the state pays to do it by itself. Paul, this is one of the reasons, and the reforms that the governor and the Republicans came out with and the Democrats, I think they will pass a reform package. As we talked about, one of the really shocking issues is that state money can go to nonprofit A, but then they then pass it on to nonprofits B, C, and D. And the state never gets to look at who B, C, and D are. They're going to change that, so that won't be happening again. But this is why I fought so hard for an inspector general, because an inspector general would have subpoena power. They would be able to issue subpoenas, and if people didn't comply with the documents, they would be charged and going to jail. When people halt and delay and obfuscate bringing out this material, to me, it makes them look guilty. I think, you know, obviously anyone, Senator McCrory and others, are innocent until proven guilty, and a lot of them haven't been charged yet. But what is the hesitation to bring the documents? Either they don't have them, which is wrong, or they don't want to show them.
At this point, John, the guest is John McKinney from the Connecticut Capitol Report on News 8 every Sunday morning. Budget items right now. So this is the short session, which is supposed to be to tweak the budget. So what is happening now, John, from your past experience at this point in trying to make those adjustments to get the books as good as they can be when they adjourn?
Well, what's happening now, and I think all of the players in Hartford, the governor, the Democrats, and the Republicans who've put out a budget plan are all making adjustments to those guardrails, which we have hailed since 2018, that have really set our state on solid footing and got to pay off some of our unfunded liabilities. And the big issue is the volatility cap that looks like they're going to make some changes to the volatility cap. That's the delta between what we expect to get in our income tax revenues and what we might get in a really good market year. That delta is put into the, you know, pay off our pension fund. They're going to adjust that so they can use more of the tax money coming in. I think what's really happening is the governor is meeting with Democratic leaders. He has different objectives with that money. He wants to give some money back, whether it's a rebate or a tax cut. Democrats want to inject that money into more programs, local school funding and the like. The Republicans are sitting on the side saying, well, we want to give permanent tax relief with that money. But I don't think the Republicans are being invited into the room.
Well, yeah, what a shock. And John, finally, the gubernatorial campaign in particular on the Republican side, particularly the dynamic between Aaron Stewart and Ryan Fazio, both friends of the radio station here. I don't know whether you heard, Aaron is up and running with some radio spots here, pretty aggressively going after the governor on, ding, 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 the public benefits charge. I'm not surprised, are you?
No, not surprised. You know, I haven't heard a lot of Connecticut candidates use the BS term before. We'll see how that works. I guess I'm old school, but I think we're seeing, and Paul, I actually looked early this morning to see if I could have an update, because campaign finance quarter ended April 1st.
That's right, yeah.
And I haven't seen any filing from the third Republican candidate, Betsy McCoy.
Okay.
If her numbers are what the rumors are, then she's not going to qualify for public financing. And in my opinion, she should think about dropping out of the race. Ultimately, it's going to be a two-person race. It's going to be Ryan Fazio versus Aaron Stewart. They're both qualified already, so they both got a couple million dollars. Hopefully, they're going to buy more ads on WICC.
That's right.
It's a great place to get your message. I bought radio ads on WICC in 1998 when I first ran.
See that?
It's a great way to get to people. You know, you'd go to the grocery store and people say, hey, I heard your radio ad. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very close race between those two.
Yeah.
And I think right now Aaron Stewart has a slight edge on getting the nomination by the Republican Party at the convention,
yeah.
But I don't think that matters. It's going to be a real close race between the two of them in an August primary.
Yeah, great stuff. John McKinney, catch him with all the other guys, Tom Dudchick and the whole panel on the Capitol Report, Sunday mornings at 10 on News 8. John, great stuff as always. Have a great weekend, my friend. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, there you go. See you go. There you go. Sales endorsement of WICC from John McKinney.